You're now diving into the fish tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Trap OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, dog fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange.
Yeah, welcome back to the fish tank right here on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Seth Levitt with my main man, OJ McDuffie. Juice, how we feeling this morning?
What's up, Big Seth?
Everything is lovely. DJ Preach, you feeling good?
I'm feeling good, man. How are you?
I'm great. So, Juice, we are stepping into uncharted waters here in the tank.
Yes.
You know, every guest that has been in the tank has played for the Dolphins, has worked for the Dolphins, has covered the Dolphins. But we're I guess some might say enemy territory. I don't look at it that way because I love this guy. But we are bringing in none other than Bart Scott, former Jet, former Raven, and a guy who said a whole lot of shit during that time and currently now in his role as a media personality.
Yeah, Bart, he's covered some Dolphins too, Seth. He's covered some Dolphins too.
Yeah, he's covered some Dolphins. You're right. That's a good point. And in a whole other way, he's covered some Dolphins. Bart, how you feeling, man?
I feel good, man. I'm glad we can get security clearance, man. I can be over. I don't know if I'm the Sith Lord or I'm the Jedi, but I'm glad to be on the fish tank today with you guys, man. It's been real, man. Thank you for giving me an excuse to have a life in the midst of this pandemic. Yo, it's like, what's the movie with Will Smith when all he had was a German Shepherd? That's kind of how I feel right now.
I Am Legend. Yeah.
Yeah, I Am Legend. I feel like I Am Legend around here, man. So,
and that's interesting, too, because you don't know if he was really the good guy or the bad guy. So it's kind of like what you're talking about. I see what you're doing. That's kind of deep, Bart.
You know what I'm saying? Every once in a while, I get philosophical in this thing. I, you know, read a book or two, and I feel like I get in my feelings and stuff. I feel like I'm next level intellectual until I realize that, you know, everybody else read that book a long time ago.
You're late to the party. Well, hey, man, I know that you guys are, you know, up in Jersey and New York area. You're dealing with a lot right now with the storm. And we tried to make this thing happen yesterday. Juice, Bart was probably, I don't even want to know what kind of type of safety rules and violations were happening there in the car. And we couldn't get it done.
They probably mailed me in 5 citations. You know what I'm saying? You know, New York, they got all these cameras everywhere. So I probably got some tickets in the mail for what I was doing.
Oh, that is not built into our budget either. But you look stationary now, not necessarily in the studio that you expected to be in, but we appreciate you making it work, man.
I don't even know where I'm at, man. I don't even understand my surroundings, bro. I mean, just to get the audience a little panoramic view, you know what I'm saying? I'll act like I have a jib or something like that. Bam, check that out. I'm in enemy territory for you, too.
Yes.
You're a UPS guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting up here in the back room of FedEx where they take the people that steal. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't steal nothing. They allow me to use the facilities. You know what I'm saying?
You sure you didn't tell them that?
Not yet. Not yet.
Hey, that's where they take it, Juice. So if you go in and make color copies, but you tell them you made black and white and you try and save that 90 cents per copy, they bring you in that back room.
Oh, yeah. They take you back here like shoe program, 24-hour lockdown. You know what I'm saying? I might see if I can get some of this smart water and some of this. It looks like this is where they restock all their things that they sell. You know what I'm saying? I might get some chips, get some monsters or something.
Swedish fish or something over there too. Yeah, for sure. Well, we appreciate you going through all the hurdles and making it work. So before we get too deep into it, Juice, I have to say, and you know from playing in Jason's golf tournament over the years, Juice, that Bart was a guy that would come in from out of town for a long time, and we loved having him. But there is no celebrity participant in that event who was more reliable but scared the shit out of me more. So we'd have to book flights, and Preach knows this. We'd book flights, and I couldn't reach Bart. He'd say, I'm good. But then I couldn't reach him. I couldn't book a flight. If I did book a flight, I'd send a limo guy to pick him up. He wouldn't be there. And next thing you know, he'd be at the pool at the Hard Rock. Like, he was so self-sufficient. He's like, you ain't got to worry about me. I got a car. I'm good. He'd book his own flight. He didn't mind JetBlue. So I appreciate all that, man.
Hey, man, JetBlue, everybody's first class, man. Listen, I'm low maintenance, man. I'm an undrafted rookie. I was an undrafted free agent, man. $500. I don't need all that glitz and glam, man. All I need is a destination and a valid hall pass to get away from my wife for 5 days, and I'm good. I'm fine. I'll be like Forrest Gump, man. I'll be running, and I'll get there. Don't even worry about me, bro. If I say I'm there, I'm there. We Gucci.
We go through this, and after the second year, I realize it because, you know, we get ready to tee off at 9 o'clock, and it's 8:50, and I'm looking for Barb. And then he'd show up, and he'd say, hey, man, I'm good. I just need a pair of shoes. He'd go to the pro shop. He'd grab his shoes, dump in the cart, and he'd be great. Man, it was just kind of
standoff. Dub know how it is. Before you get to the meeting, Everybody's like, man, it's time to get to the meeting. You got to hurry up, man. Dudes will go into the cafeteria, place an order, eat a sandwich, walk in with 10 seconds to spare. It's a science that happens, man. You really understand when you live it, when every day of your life is kind of mapped out for you and to people telling you where you got to be, you know what 10 seconds really is. You know what 30 seconds really is. I can eat a sandwich, digest it, drink a Gatorade, and sit down before coach walks through the front to address us for the team meeting, baby.
A whole life's by the clock, man. Everything's by the clock. All until the zeros hit, no matter what.
You're never disappointed. So let's jump into it, man. And we will eventually get to you wearing that nasty green and white, but we really should start at the beginning. So you mentioned it. You weren't drafted, but ended up having a hell of a career with the Ravens. Spent the first 7 years of your career there. And now I did a little research. You know, the old PR guy and me did a little research. I didn't have to call Chad Steele or anything, but I did. And it looked like you personally, I think the Ravens during your 7 years played Miami five times during your career, but I think you might have missed one of those games. So it looks like you played in four regular season games against the Dolphins. But you only won one of them. You only won one of them. But then when shit turned
only
to
won
the
one, when it got real.
In regular season. In regular season, when shit turned into postseason, it was kind of like men against boys. So, what was going on there? Why were the Ravens such a tough matchup for the Dolphins of that era?
Well, in the playoffs, it's different, right? You know, playoff mode, you know, we had a veteran team. We had a team that kind of had a lot of, you know, Hall of Famers on it. We kind of understand how to set the tempo when it's time for playoff time.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, man, you talk about Seattle Seahawks, you talk about their 12th man. Nobody has a greater 12th man than the Miami Dolphins.
Really?
South Beach is undefeated. South Beach is undefeated, bro. It is hard to focus when you leave in Baltimore and you go down to the Sunshine State, man. You got distractions all over the place. You planted it out. We know how it is. Guys already have their. Listen, I've never seen more people with more ecstatic to go to a strip club before nightfall than any other place in the world, man. Like, listen, if I can run to the strip club, have some fun, spend some bread, you know, come back, go to the team meeting, and go back to the strip club
before bed check.
Hey, so you like just keep my tab open? Keep my tab open. I'll be back.
I'll be right back.
I'll be right back. Somebody sit down and say, "You leaving big dog?" No, bro, that's my seat. Bro. It's like Kings of Comedy. Like, you know what I'm saying? How they say, like, black people, we don't come from the hope place. I don't hope. Oh, my God. I hope nobody took my table. We wish when we come back from the strip club that somebody sit in our seat. Oh, you going to kick in on this tab, bro? Oh, yeah. I got 10 bottles. You're going to kick in on that. If you sat down, then you're responsible for what I bought at this table, too. You part of. No, come on back. Don't leave. Come on back. Put that card in here, man. We playing credit card roulette when it's over with to see who paying for this thing. And guess what? You just got included.
Hey, Bart, unfortunately, that's been the 12th man for our team, too. 6 days a week. 6 days a week.
It was only one day a week for you, huh?
You only had to worry about one day. We had it 6-7 days a week down here.
And that's what I'm saying, man. It takes extreme focus. I remember, see, people don't realize this. I was supposed to be a Dolphin, right? So when I became a free agent from the Ravens, you know, I had Miami, I had the Giants, I had Kansas City, I had Detroit, I had Baltimore. Everybody wanted me back. So I was like, hey, babe, what do you think about going down to Miami? I was like, hey, you know, it's no state taxes. We'll get more of our bread. She's like, you know what? She's like, hey, babe, if you want to go down to Miami, we might as well just get divorced right now. I was like, you know what? You're probably right.
She's a smart woman. She's a smart woman.
I was like, that's the only place you can go. What's that place y'all got? Polo Tropical. What's that?
Polo Tropical.
That's the only place in the country where you can go there, man. You can find a dime. Like, you know what, baby? Come on out. You retired. Come on out. No, you don't even got to work.
Retired. No more slinging chicken. I got you. Hey,
so the girl who's cutting the chicken in the back, you're going to put on scholarship. She's like.
yo. Hey, no. Hey, you only. Well, listen, you'll go all in. Listen, I was never that far. Yeah, I put them on a book scholarship. Not room and board. I get you on that book scholarship, baby. You good. You ain't got
a troppy chop and a wife. You walk in the poil and you're out of there with a troppy chop and a wife.
Yo, you do not have to copy and paste and print out books and copy your classmates. You good. You're going to have the leather back, baby. Hard copy. You good. Hard copy. You got the top of the line books. You good, baby. And a book bag coming with it. A Jan Sport. Ain't going to be no good one. You're going to get that Jan Sport.
Good backpack.
But I'm curious, because in the NBA, you know, we've seen that where guys are in town for 2-3 days, and certainly the nightlife can take over in a heartbeat. But in the NFL, certain coaches aren't letting you out of the hotel. It sounds to me like you guys were at least, well, maybe you weren't. I don't know. Did you have the freedom to leave and just be back by curfew, or were you guys just doing what the hell you wanted to do?
Listen. You know, we understood in Baltimore, the inmates ran their asylum, man. And then when we went to New York, you know, it was the same thing. You know, it was like, you know, as long as you come out here with that action, it's all good, boss. As long as you give me what we want, hell, the coach was out having a good time, too. I mean, you leaving a damn winter storm, and you coming back, and of course you're going to have a little fun. But, you know, you got to think, Samari, Ray Lewis, Eric, they lived there. So they were going back home. You know what I'm saying? It was probably hammer time for them. They probably had work waiting for them at the crib.
Well, there it is. So we know the true 12th man. We should embrace that more, Juice.
Listen. And this thing, even Superman himself, the GOAT, the greatest of all time, is not immune to it. When the Patriots come down there, no matter how great they are, always struggling that. Struggling in Sunshine State.
That's a fair point.
They coming from New England. I mean, they may see a couple of K-Burbians up there, but they ain't seeing all that action. They ain't seen no melon like that.
No.
They ain't seen no tone. They ain't seen no bronzing like that. They come down there and lose their damn mind. Like, I don't care what Bills say.
Yeah.
Hey, Bills, guess what? We in a weak division. We going to win it anyway. We going to have a great time today. But, you know what I'm saying? You want to get back to the rivalry and all that stuff, but that's why we were always struggling down there. And always, you know what I'm saying, you had to load up on your pickle juice. You know what I mean? You just think, you coming from an environment where it's cold, you got wind chill, and then you go here, man, and you damn near like frying like a piece of bacon. And what y'all do is y'all make sure that we have to wear the hot jersey.
That's right.
That's on the other side.
That's right.
All the fat guys, like, they out there sizzling like bacon. Like, I can't catch my breath. Y'all over there in the shade, y'all over there feeling good because y'all been laying out. You know what I'm saying? You know how it is, like that first cold day of the fall or that first hot day of the spring. You got to adjust to it, man. It was hard to adjust, man. It's an unfair advantage. They should force y'all to make a dome and make sure y'all have a sliding roof. You guys should have the number one advantage, not only about South Beach, but because of the elements, because the half of the people that come there are coming from a place cold in November, December, and y'all should be able to jump out, no huddle, and be able to get it. But the great thing is y'all always had incompetent coaches.
Now, that's a matter of perspective as far as that being great.
Right. No comment.
If this was a pre-Dolphins podcast network, we might have a different level of conversation here.
Bart, it's
all fun. They know we just having fun. That's jokes. This is entertaining, man. We trying to get clicks. We just trying to get clicks, Dolphin Nation. Don't be taking it so serious.
You know,
something
we did take serious is 2008 season, man. You know, when you guys actually handled us twice that year. But that was the year where you brought out the Wildcat, you know, and we saw how the Fins went up in New England and what they did to those guys. And you know, we've never seen anything like that. We beat them like that. But, you know, what did you guys think of that new offense when you saw it? I mean, you guys were stacked in your position, linebackers. How do you guys feel about the Wildcat?
Well, I mean, first of all, whenever you got Ricky Williams in anything, I mean, him with a head start, you try to be flat-footed and catch up with them. It was all about deception. But the thing is, you know, us having Rex Ryan, he was a guy that, you know, think about his encyclopedia of information from every type of offense. And the fact that it was an older offense that had been created long time ago that maybe the rest of the league hadn't really seen. You know, Rex just dialed up some of the concepts from his dad because he can call his dad and remember and break it down for what it really is. And what it really was just an option, but really it was a power running game. It was just disguised with a lot of things that was designed to really fool your eyes. You have to break it down. Who's in motion? What's the formation? And what's the three plays that they can do? Because it has three options off of it. But what we always took advantage of was the fact that, okay, we understood that Ronnie Brown's back there. That makes it 11 on 11, right? So that makes it 11 on 11, but also he can't throw the football. So it allowed us not to really worry about a safety component of it, because we knew he wasn't accurate running the football. But, you know, what football is all about, it's about awareness and understanding about how you're being attacked and what the philosophy is. We understood what the philosophy was. No matter what it was, with all the smoke and mirrors, the motions, the shifts, the pulling, what it basically was a power running game designed to fool your eyes, to force you to be able to stand still. It basically was an outside run zone and an inside zone. And depending on who was in certain positions, it made you realize what the concepts were. So that's what we had to recognize that, you know, first of all. Secondly, Rex went back to Buddy, and he went back to some, basically what this was like a wing T form of an option, right? And it forced you to play 11 on 11. But the thing was, because Ronnie couldn't throw, you know, accurately, we can kind of hedge our bet that if he did throw once or twice, as long as we had kind of like some type of semblance of somebody in the area, that we could make the play, especially when you had the greatest ball hawk of all times with Ed Reed back there, right, making sure that he made everybody right. So what we did is we made sure no matter what that our perimeters and our edges was always set. And then we understood that where the motion was coming, you guys were just basically trying to outflank us. So no matter what, we had a defense called Flipper and Dolphin, right? And what happened is we understood that we couldn't give you guys the same dose, like the same thing, because y'all would figure out the blocking scheme and change it up. So we had a certain automatic blitz to a certain formation, to a certain personnel grouping. So we understood that, you know, for the most part, you know, one was going to be a power with extra puller, with maybe Ricky getting to the perimeter, kicking somebody out or coming down, and it basically turned to Ronnie Brown being 11 on 11. What people don't realize, when you play against a team, the quarterback is really obsolete. He doesn't matter, because once he hands the ball off, he's dead. So what happens is it's basically 10 against 11, and the defender always has a free person. So you're always going to have a guy in case somebody misses. You're going to have somebody that can be the extra guy, the free hitter. But when you have 11 on 11, when you have the Wildcat, then now one guy gets cut off and you decide not to block a backside guy, and you gain an advantage by getting yourself an extra guy, say by pulling a guy, you let a guy, the right side defensive end, the right side safety go, you're essentially, now you have 11 on 8. And if somebody gets cut off and somebody can't get over the top and make a play, then everybody has to beat their one-on-one matchup, then now you have big explosive plays. So what we always try to do is change the math. If Ricky was coming in this motion, we knew that nobody flat-footed can get there. So what we wanted to make sure, instead of chasing from inside out from linebackers, make sure that we were always having power outside in. That way we had the ability to make sure that the Dolphins couldn't cut the defense. When we say cut the defense, that means you take a line here and make this side of the defense obsolete, and then this side of the defense you isolate. And then guys got to make heroic plays. What happens is, if you keep doing that over and over again, eventually all it takes is, you can stop it 10 times. All it takes is 11 times for right. for you to break it, and you're always going to be on schedule. So you're always going to be getting 3 yards, 4 yards. Well, those are first downs. And then eventually you break down, you get discouraged, or somebody try and play hero ball and lose the integrity of the defense, and then there's the big explosive. The problem with that is, if you don't have a good defense on the other side, and I think that, you know, the Dolphins defense during those years wasn't given the credit that they deserve, because if you go up by 2 scores, you got to come out of the Wildcat, because now it takes time to kind of matriculate or move the ball down the field slowly. So what we always did, we had Dolphin and Flipper, where basically it was an automatic blitz. So like what it means is, instead of, you know, coming down, say like we had Dolphin. Dolphin means that you're taking the dive immediately, the defensive end, coming down flat, and then the linebacker automatically is going to free straight and widen his alignment, so that he's going to be able to replace the wide guy, you know, outside in case they hand it to Ricky. Then, you know, if we go Flipper, it's the reverse. The defensive end is going to get up the field. The inside linebacker is going to stay inside out, and we have a safety inserting. So that way we have Ricky, or we have the free runner, we have them inside pursuit, outside pursuit, with still maintaining that somebody's going to be able to have Ricky if he's handed the ball. And then what happens is we continue to mix it up so they can never really realize what we did until they break it down on Monday. We always had this running joke that, you know what I mean, they'll figure it out on Monday.
Right.
Right. And really what, you know, what that defense was all about was making you guess. Well, we didn't like being dictated to in a Rex Ryan defense. We said, listen, we're not about to sit here and read and react. We're about to make you react to us. So we just automatically blitz stuff. And it was funny because, well, and another thing, like even when Chad Pennington was there, we knew that he wasn't running. So then that's a different iteration of the Wildcat. And we knew that we loved Chad. We loved Chad to death, right? Because he's still a member of the Jets Nation, and he tells all these, you know, he comes in, he teaches, and he's still around. But we knew, we called what Chad had, we say he threw a big ball. And when we say he threw a big ball, that means that ball was heavy as hell, because his arm was so damn weak that too, because of the surgery, that we knew we could see the ball spinning. That's how slow the damn ball spent.
You count the rotations?
Yeah, it's like one Mississippi, two Mississippi. Yup. It ain't there yet. Go ahead and pick that, Ed. So what we used to do against him is we would pack the boundary with coverage. We put all our coverage to the boundary. Because guess what? If you throw a big ball, what's the hardest throw, Duff? The hardest throw is the 15-yard out.
That's right.
Because it's 15 yards, but it's like 50 yards in the air. because you got to account for the distance down the field and the width of the field. The width of the field, if you're on the left hash, you're thinking like we all run the gassers where we kind of jog and then we sprint in between the hashes. That's probably from the left hash to the sideline is probably 40 yards. So that's, you know, or let's say 30, because 30 it's 53 yards, yep. yards wide. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. So it's 30 yards plus 15 down. That's 45 yards. You got to have a cannon for 15 yards. So we say this dude got a noodle. This dude got a Dillinger. He got the gun that Eddie Murphy pulled out on Vera on Harlem Nights, you know, to shoot the pinky toe. You know what I'm saying? We knew he ain't had no bazooka. He had no Carson Palmer. He didn't have a Flacco. He didn't have a Brady arm. And because of the injuries. So what we would do is we would pack all the coverage and say, okay, if you're going to beat us, you're going to throw this 15-yard out against our lockdown corners. And if that ball is inaccurate, if it's inside just a little bit, if it's off target just a little bit, we're going to be hitting our head on the goalpost. So we always packed it. So we knew our personnel. We knew what we were dealing with. And so when we went down to play them, we was like, all right, we know they've been kicking everybody else's ass, but we about to shock the world today, baby. We about to show them what time it is. We got a plan for this. And one time I hit Chad, I thought I killed him. Yeah, I thought I knew for a fact that a flag was coming. But, you know, God bless Chad Hart. He didn't have enough Pro Bowl to get that flag.
That's real talk right there. That's real talk.
Terrible. So I took the extra step.
You know what Chad Daniel here.
You had disputed on that on the game, though. You'd have been upset if they'd have called it on you, right?
Oh, yeah. I would say, man, that's Chad Pennington, man.
Damn, Marino. Man,
ain't Brady. Yeah. Dan get that call. Listen, Vic don't get that call because people feel sorry for the defenders, because if you hit Vic, man, that's a feat in itself. If you hit Cam, they don't protect Cam. You know what I'm saying? Maybe Russell gets that call. Like, in today's era, a lot of guys aren't qualified to get that call. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, like, I knew at that point that Chad wasn't getting that call. You know what I mean? So I was like, you know what? Let me give me a highlight tape. But, you know, when you win, you know, the next week they do all the highlights. I was like, man, I'm going to get this one. I already ran 11 yards. What's 12?
Know your personnel. I love it.
He laid there like this, and I heard him go, I was like, oops. I tried to track the ref. Ruff, look, it's incomplete. trying to track him. Chad was laying down there and he tried to pull that banana and tailpipe too. He was trying to act it out too a little bit more. Like, you wasn't that hurt. It was like boo, 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 boo. Rich dude, motherfucker. First of the month. Don't be pulling that falling down the stairs shit, Chad. You conscious motherfucker, get up.
See, that's the stuff we don't hear, Juice. Now we
I know.
What's really
I know. It's great side. Great side.
And I appreciate you breaking down that defense on the Wildcat. I think Travis on drive time is probably going to go nuts and go pull some film and watch all that.
Right.
We don't normally get that deep in the X's and O's. That was really good. Let's back up a year. Let's back up 1 year to 2007. So 07 was the absolute low point in this franchise's history. Okay. We start off at 13, finish the year 1-15. You know, it's just a horrible season that we don't like to relive. But since you are here.
Kalamazoo, what's his name?
And it was that one game.
Kalamazoo.
Camarillo,
man.
Kalamazoo.
That's some great Kalamazoo. So let's talk about that, man. So for a lot of reasons, that had to be a frustrating thing for you, I'd imagine. But what I'm curious about is, number one, as a defensive player, when you see that, you know, you're playing this team that's 0-13. You've got the ball. I think it was Jamal Lewis in the backfield, and you've got the ball on the 1 yard line there. You know, how pissed off were you that you guys didn't go for it on fourth down?
Crazy, man. Because, like, first of all, we weren't going nowhere anyway, so who cares? You know what I mean? But you don't really want to give a team that don't want to go down in the history books. I mean, I think the Lions, I don't know if it was the Dan Orlovsky Lions.
Lions
or whatever,
came afterwards. Kind of no. So you're absolutely right. That was, they did not want to be that team.
That was Brian Billick's last year too, man. It was like, man, like he had to go after that. You know, like, why not go for it for now? Like, who cares? It's the Dolphins. Like, when neither team are going anywhere and the U-Haul's already packed, you know what I'm saying? Everybody got the pods in the front yard. I'm like, what the hell? Like, why do we have to stay out here any longer than we have to? Go for it on fourth down. Let's get the hell up out of here and let's go, man.
Right.
Like this was a team that didn't want to be embarrassed by, you know, being an 0-for whatever team. You know, could you imagine if that would have happened? The Dolphins would have been on both ends of the spectrum. Been a team, only team to go undefeated, the only team to never win a game. Like, there's nobody wants to be in the history books for that.
That was the talk all year long. Yeah, that was the talk.
And it was like, man, and then your win comes against a credible organization. It's different if, like, you like your win came against the Cleveland Browns or came against that time the Arizona Cardinals. Came against the Baltimore Ravens, man. Disrespectful, man. Like, that's what happens when you underestimate an opponent. And it was like one of those things. It was the 12th man again. You know, guys coming out, they were lethargic. What happens is when you have a team that's desperate, that has their backs against the wall, and coming out and playing with extra effort, and you kind of went through the motions all week, you know, that's what happened. You let them hang around long enough, they believe that they can win. And that's what we did. Instead of putting them away and kind of, you know, putting that doubt in their head early, you know, that's what happens when sometimes you have teams that lose focus. And that's really what happened. And listen, Camazero, you know, Ed Reed, I remember the play. I think I was supposed to be taking a slant. He told me to take the blitz or something. And he tried to jump us. He tried to jump the slant. And Ed Reed, he's so damn good. He's so damn smart. He jumped it early. So he jumped the slant, the three-step, and then he threw it behind. Like, 5 seconds then, he's like, where the hell is Ed? The slant, this dude ran for like, what? It was like, what, 40 yards?
Oh, it was longer than that.
Longer than that.
Yeah, we got, you know, Camazero ran one of these lazy-ass routes. You know, and Ed Reed ran it 25 minutes early. You know, he jumped it, and next thing you know, you're watching the dude kick it, hit his head on the goalpost. But what was more disrespectful is the dude was slow as hell. The fact that nobody could walk him down from the back, because we walked it out from the back of 70 yards, catch him at the 50, they gonna be punting anyway. But you know what? I've never seen a team celebrate like they won the Super Bowl. But when did they first? Did they storm the field? I feel like confetti came down.
The goalpost came down. Everything.
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, this is the issue. This is the issue with y'all. Listen, this is the issue with our organization. You are celebrating one win. Come on, man.
So what was that locker room like? So how did you – that locker room and that flight home, how are you guys feeling about yourselves?
It's like when the Harlem Globetrotters lose to the Washington Generals. Oh, guess what? That shit never happens. But it was like one of those things.
Wait a minute, though. You guys weren't actually, you know, Harlem Globetrotters at that point, Bart.
We weren't the Harlem Globetrotters. But in our minds, we were.
But you felt like you were.
In our minds, we was like, man, we better.
That might have been the problem. That might have been why you had just lost to an 0-13 team.
Well, I don't know if Chris McAllister was on the team, but if Chris McAllister was on the team still, I think he was still on the team at that point. Was Chris still on the team?
I don't know.
Because you never knew. Because, you know, Chris could show up drunk, and you never knew, like, you know, what Chris was going to get. So, you know, we don't know how many people had. Yeah, we don't know how many people. Yeah, I'm surprised he made it. He likes golf, yeah.
That's a whole other
story. You know, funny thing, man. I remember we were playing. Listen, I ended up playing. I've known Brandon Edwards my whole life, right? You know, because he's from Detroit. I remember he came to the. He's like, man, I remember one time we played y'all. Remember that game where I ran a double move on Chris? He was like, man, I went to the sideline. I told Coach, like, Coach, man, that dude drunk. I can smell vodka on his breath. He's like, run a double move. So Chris is the only teammate I ever played with that we had to assign somebody to make sure that he was up and that he was going to come to practice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
and he was on the team until through 2008.
Yeah. Oh, he was a great player. Yeah, great. Chris is a great player. Great player. You know what I'm saying? He would have been a Hall of Famer if he wouldn't, you know, saying if he would have had a, if he would have been just addicted to marijuana, he would have been a Hall of Famer.
That says a lot.
Yeah,
that says a lot.
It really does, man.
I mean, he was 6'2", could run with the wind, physical at the point of attack, and when he wanted to be, he was the most dominant corner, you know, that I've been around. I played with Revis as well, you know. He was Revis, but 6'2",
right.
217. He was Champ Bailey. He was that type of talent. And he gave you glimpses of it. I mean, I remember one year he shut down Torrey Holt, T.O., Chad. I'm trying to think of who. Like, he had a list. Like, he went against the top receivers. I think nobody had over 20 yards, though.
Well, he wouldn't have made it down here too long, though, Juice.
Nah. The 12th man down here with him. Got at him, Bart. You know what I mean?
I mean, alcohol and heat don't mix. he'd have been a walking cramp.
That's right. 6'2", 200 down here.
Oh yeah, he'd been 195.
Yeah. So Bart, you know, so you leave Baltimore in 2009, and you follow your buddy Rex Ryan to eat a goddamn snack with the Jets. You know.
Oh yeah.
I know, you know, how we felt about you guys, but talk about the Dolphins-Jets rivalry from your side of tracks.
It was like, it's like one of those things, man. You know how somebody don't like you and they're so angry at you and you don't understand why? So, like, when we came down here, we had no idea until Jason told us how you guys saw that rivalry as, like, Super Bowl week. And it's like we were looking up at the Patriots as that same energy. But we didn't look at you guys like that. And you guys took it to a whole nother level. And it took us a while to realize that that's the level of hate and disdain that you have for us. And I still don't even know where it originates from. You know,
70s and 80s.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know that. So, like, when Jason came and said, guys, man, they post Jet Week up around the building. We, like, looking at, like, we got the Dolphins this week. And, like, that rivalry was heated. And you can feel it sometimes from, like, you know how, like, you can tell that somebody must have said something bad about you in the meeting because they had gassed somebody up. Because I forget who it was. But y'all had somebody. He was, like, a little gnat. Like, bro, he was like Patrick Beverly. Like, bro, what the fuck are you doing? You know, it's like, where's all this hostility and energy coming from? I don't even know you. You ain't doing it today, Bart. It ain't going down like that today. You're like, what? What the fuck is this dude? So, like, it took a while for us to kind of adjust to kind of what was going on. And then Ryan Tannehill was, like, something that added something on to that type of offense that you guys had because he was an athlete. You know, he's really a wide receiver playing quarterback because of what he did in college. So he was more athletic, so you couldn't get away with some of the sins that you used to get away with. But the Dolphins was always a tough matchup. You know, we always handily just beat the hell out of the Bills. And the Patriots, we would normally split for the most part. But the Dolphins, it was just tough, man. It's a different type of energy, man. Like, and we just sometimes we matched it. Sometimes we had a great game plan. Sometimes it just didn't work out that well. You know what I mean? Because we never had a dominant offense all the time. I mean, I can remember even going back to the last one that I've ever played in. I mean, you got Santonio Holmes. We trying to go to the playoffs. And we got Santonio Holmes arguing with the offensive lineman in the huddle. We like, man, what the hell's going on, man? It's something about that heat, man. People lose their damn mind. I don't know what's going on, but
he was from down here, man.
Yeah,
Antonio's from the Muck. He should have known better.
Yeah,
Muck City. Yeah, I mean, it's a physical rivalry. I mean, that's what I appreciate it because to me, quite frankly, like coming from the division with the Steelers, the Browns, and even like the Bengals, those were physical teams built for Midwest type football. And I come over to AFC East. And it's like soft, like finesse football and everybody trying to be smarter than you and trick plays and throwing this and that. And I used to love the fact that when I went against the Dolphins, I can kind of have that feeling of being able to say, hey, my balls are bigger than yours. You know what I mean? It was like that. You know I mean, that's the kind of football that I like to play. You know I mean, I always hated going against the Andy Reid teams where they trying to do screens and shit. Like, man, come on, man. It's like you're a brawler and you want to brawl and this dude want to fight. You know what I mean? You want to dance. You got to try and cut them off. You're like, man, come on, let's football. Let's be some tough guys. Let's see who got the bigger balls. He's like, nah, man, I know you are, but what am I? Like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, I'm too smart. I'm not going to get hurt, man. I got to have a life after football. Like, man, what the hell? All right, we playing one of these games. All right, Rex, dial up the blitzes. These two don't want to fight.
Oh, okay. Man. That's an interesting perspective on the rivalry. I haven't heard that one. But you just mentioned
it. Because Tony Sperano was a tough guy. So he believed in tough guy stuff. You know what I mean? God rest his soul. He believed in tough guy stuff. So, like, I loved it. Like, come on, man. All right. Was it Richie Incognito? Y'all had Richie, didn't y'all?
Yes.
We did.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because I mean, oh, yeah, that's right, the whole bully gate. Yeah, I mean, you know, because I used to try and fight him all the time. Like, I one time chased him into the locker room. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had to grab me. I was trying to.
While he was in that real Miami?
No, not in Miami. When he was in St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
Really? Oh, yeah. Listen,
what happened that you had to chase him into the locker room?
You know, he'd be on that bullshit. Right, and this is one thing we can be on bullshit on the you know tough guy stuff, but when you start doing stuff, diving at my knees, stuff like that, then this ain't even about football. Like, no, right. I'm gonna see you. What's up? Like, straight up, what's up? You know what I mean? So I remember chasing him. Like I told him after the game I was gonna kick his ass, right? And then so like he was on that tough guy stuff. So like afterwards, he thought I was playing. I swung on him. He ducked and he started running. I tried to chase him to the locker room where he was in Baltimore, and his coaches and they all grabbed me. Then I tried to fight the Rams coaches. I said, because y'all coaching that shit, I'm about to whoop y'all ass too. And like, Bart, he's crazy. It's not on us. And I was like, yo, so like he called my agent, like, man, yo, what's up with Bart, man? Like, no, Bart gonna fuck you up on site. On site. And ain't I'm from Detroit. It's on site. You trying to take
money for that Detroit part to come out.
Oh yeah. It was like, yo, on site, bro. Ain't even no words. It was gonna be some Levi Jones. Joey Porter stuff, some Peasy stuff. It was going down like that. Like, whatever. There ain't gotta be no teammates around. I see you at Applebee's. I'm kicking your ass. Straight up. So he can be. Listen, what's a goon to a goblin? What's a goon to a goblin? So he was that Mr. Tough Guy. He's that tough guy to everybody else. I don't go, fuck. I'll whoop your ass. Richie, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, on sight, I was going to whoop that ass.
Let's hope he doesn't have to make any copies today in New Jersey. Huh? So let's hope he doesn't have to make any copies today in New Jersey, or this whole podcast might fall apart.
Oh, it's going.
Keep the camera rolling, though.
Hey, he gonna be around this bitch looking like he got cut up, you know, by a razor blade. You don't have a bunch of paper cuts. I'm gonna beat his ass with a stack of copy paper.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right. Well, so you said you weren't it's too good. You said you weren't as familiar with the rivalry until JT shared it with you. And so that's a perfect segue into my next question, because you ended up playing over the course of your career with a handful of Dolphins, some prominent Dolphins, and certainly JT was the most prominent of them all. What was that like? Because you and I know you guys got very close, obviously, just, you know, from my work with the foundation, I saw how close you guys got. What was that like with JT? You had played, as you said, with future Hall of Famers in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And did you know JT before that? And how did you guys bond so quick?
I did, because I was a scrub. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, I understand. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't invited to the rooms that JT was in. You know what I'm saying? He was up in the rooms with the Bruce Smiths, you know what I'm saying? The Jonathan Ogdens, the Ray Lewis's, Airy. Yeah. Man, I was down there with the dudes, you know what I'm saying? That they didn't come through the front of the door. You know what I'm saying? I was down there with the scrub. You know what I'm saying? Every once in a while, they let me up. I mean, it wasn't until 2006 when I took my career to the next level. I stopped being like a special teams guy where I got up. Listen, most disrespectful shit ever happened in my life, man. I was playing special teams, you know what I'm saying? I'm still trying to find my way. Nobody really know who the hell I am. Yeah, so I'm sitting there, man, and I'm talking shit. I'm like I always do. My nickname was the Mad Backer. People know me for Can't Wait, but everybody else know me as the Mad Backer because I was always fucking fighting. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, I remember Deion. Like, Deion got I got an autographed jersey in my basement from Deion. It said, "Bark, quit cussing." Like, yo, why are you so bad? Like, you need therapy. Like, fuck you, Deion. But anyway, so, like, I'm coming on the field. I'm talking shit. I'm fighting. I'm on special teams. And Warren Sapp touched me by my shoulder and turned me around. I was like, who the fuck are you? Oh, motherfucker. So disrespectful. Man, I started knocking motherfuckers out on that field. And it was special. I was just knocking motherfuckers out for standing around. You stand around knocking your ass out. And every time this fat ass came on the field, I was like, motherfucker, that's who the fuck I am, you fat fuck. It got to the point so bad where he wouldn't even listen. He wouldn't even look at me. He would just come out and walk backwards. So I couldn't turn shit up. Fuck you. Your fat ass hear me, bitch. Fuck you, motherfucker.
Bart, I love you, man. I love you.
Sapp is not the most popular guy here in the tank, so that's a great story to hear.
Okay. Listen, I'm an equal opportunist asshole. I don't give a fuck who you is. I got smoke for anybody. I fight anybody. I don't give a fuck.
So dial it back to then how did – so where did you and JT connect in this? You know, because he and Sapp
Yeah, but no, game recognized game. JT's a nice guy, man. He's like, we used to call him Xerxes. You know, all he had to do was pierce his nipples and shit. He'd be Xerxes, fake Boris Cujo or whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's just a good guy, man. You know what I'm saying? Listen, we understood, like, he was brought in for a reason. You know what I'm saying? He was brought in to kind of help us win. He's such a professional, you know what I mean? He's a role model to guys that we aspire to be him. You know what I'm saying? He's a guy that wasn't given anything as well. And he's a guy that really don't fit the bill of greatness. I remember playing with, you know, being coached by Mike Singletary. He's my linebacker coach. And he told me one thing. He said, listen, greatness comes in every shape and size. And JT was a testament of that because he wasn't your prototypical 280-pound defensive end. He was an undersized guy that was about that action, about that smoke. And if you're a great defensive player and you're about that action, and I always consider myself a Raven because that's where I was created, you know what I'm saying? I got respect for you if you play the game the right way. Watching him in his battles with Jonathan Ogden, the fact that I've never seen anybody beat Jonathan Ogden, that he gave Jonathan problems, you know what I mean? To me, that's instant respect off the gate.
Man, oh, man. Yeah. You know, another one of our a former Dolphin turned one of your teammates, Larry Izzo, you know? And we had Izzo in the tank, you know, recently. And as you know, he's a special kind of guy.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, like you both being.
Woody Harrison.
Yeah.
Billy Boyle. Billy.
And with both you guys being linebackers, I mean, there's no way you don't have a great or favorite Izzo story for us. You got to have something with Izzo.
Izzo was crazy. He damn near ended up being a coach, man. He was all jacked up on Mountain Dew. I think I played with Izzo my first year. You know what's crazy? Shit goes by so fucking fast, bro. Shit goes like I think when I was playing on it, he was still being held together by like duct tape and shit. He had been through so many fucking ISOs and shit, man. You know, he's, you know, those guys, and I start off as special guys. Screws aren't too tight anyway. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, Izzo's all jacked up on Mountain Dew. And it's like one of those things, right? Sometimes when you're in the same competition with people for certain awards, Yeah, you'd be like, man, how the hell does this motherfucker go to Pro Bowl every year? Man, this motherfucker ain't shit. Hey, fuck this slow motherfucker, like, running down here, short, curly hair and shit like that. You know, no athleticism and shit like this. Knee brace on, you know what I'm saying? And, like, you know, you get to see it up close and you get a greater appreciation for his skill set and just his will and desire, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I went from being, like, an Izzo hater, you know what I mean, when we were, like, you know, competing against each other. And I'm like, man, I'm a better special team player than him. And, but, you know, he bought into it and he accepted who he was early on. And Rex, you know, did what Rex does. He finds out what people do well. And he puts them in positions to be successful. And Larry was no different. You know what I mean? He was a joy to be with. You know what I mean? I wasn't surprised to see him become a coach later on. I don't know what he's doing now. Is he still a coach?
Yep. He's in Seattle.
Well, you know what? I mean, when you think about it, you go down. I mean, I forget the Slayton, Benny Thompson. You think about Metcalf. You think about, like, you know, you think about, of course, the guy up there in Buffalo. Tasker. You know what I mean? Like you think and you get a greater appreciation. Now, I know they're starting to eliminate, like, the special team aces as they phase out the kickoff and, you know, you can't have wedges and certain things. But, you know, I think, you know, Larry was one of the last of a dying breed. You know what I mean? I remember Harold Morrow. There used to be guys that made their way in the league and they look up and it's 10, 15 years in the league or 10 or, you know, 5, 10 years in the league and it's all on special teams and they were temple to they were selfless. Yeah, they were selfless players, you know what I mean? And, you know, these guys weren't born, they were built. You know what I mean? Special team guys aren't born to be great football players. They're built. They're self-motivated. They're hardworking. And that's what Izzo was, man. He was a joy to be around.
That's awesome. Hey, Bart, I'm going to jump into the next question real quick. But we still have you, but we lost your video.
But you still can hear me? You lost my video again?
Yeah. But we can just roll. I guess if you've got to move pretty soon, we've got like one or two questions, so we can get through.
All right, I can just give y'all my JT story, you know what I mean? The last time I played against him when he went back to the dark side.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, you know, me, you know, we just went to an AFC championship. You know, JT had the game of his life, man, you know what I'm saying? He kind of turned the clock back, you know, had a tremendous season. And, you know, we wish he would have stayed, but, you know, salary cap and money and stuff. So he decided to go back to Miami, the dark side. And, you know, at that time, I think after that was the season that, you know what, that was the San Antonio imposing season, I believe, right? The year after Can't Wait, we didn't go to the playoffs. We finished 8-8. We had to win. But it was like one of those things where I had to be on special teams, me and Dave, because, like, you know, everybody who knows, man, what's the old coach, special team coach name? I can't think of his name.
Westhoff.
So anybody knows Westy. First of all, Westy's full of shit, right? Love Westhoff. Westhoff told us that he created the onside kick. Say, motherfucker. Really? So we had to go back to like the 1800s or something, like the early 1900s, and show the first onside kick. He would you let him tell it. He was the reason that the Dolphins were so successful. Not shoot. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, Westy, come on, man. You created the special. You created the onside kick, man. Like, man, come on, Westy.
But he started that. Actually, he started it. What he did, Bart, he started that big bounce that Lindo Mara used to do. That, you know, big hop.
Were they driving into the ground?
Driving into the ground.
Well, listen. Well, say that. Don't say you created a damn onside kick, man. Say you create. That's like James Harden said he created the Euro step. We'll take that. Don't say you created the layup. Right. Like, that's a big difference. You created a technique. You didn't create the whole rule.
Right.
I love it.
That's right.
I love
like,
it.
So Westy, like, all about the special team. So he knew I come from a special team background. He's like, Bart, man, listen, I'm gonna need you on some of these major, like, punch, man. He's like, because they leaving their defensive stay out there, man. They got Jason out there, DMs. I need my best guy. So me and David Harris got to go on special team. So, like, we know we about to, you know, it's like nobody cares. Like, nobody going nowhere. And JT could bring his little ass out here, his little bright white tee, whatever, smile bright white tee he bring out there and shit. You know what I'm saying? Look like he fresh from the dead. Like, and it's like motherfuckers out there like, man, what the fuck? Like, man, they got $100 million on the left side of the punt team. Like, look, fuck y'all. And I'll tell you what, JT, this is your last game of your career. We're going to watch your little bullshit video. You don't want to have fucking surgery, JT, and be going to offseason, going into post-retirement, because if you come here with that bullshit, I'm going to cut the fuck out of your kneecap. So you come off with that bullshit, JT. I'm about to knock your kneecap off, man. So you better read through this the easy way or the hard way. I was like, come on, JT. You better stop.
What did he take?
We'll watch it. Huh?
What did he choose?
Oh, the easy way. He's like,
their brother-in-law, Seth. They had a brother-in-law.
Yeah, like, fuck that. Like me and Dave, we love you, JT, but me and David will hollow the shit out of you, and you'll be doing fucking rehab your first month into retirement.
He said, I'll pass. Yeah, he waited. He almost returned that damn fumble for a touchdown. He almost returned it. That's hilarious.
I know.
Man.
But that little baby neck roll they always have, you know, he was in faster. He had a fucking baby neck roll on his little skinny ass neck.
Oh, it's too good. There it is. Drive it home, Bart. There it is. Oh, he can't see.
He can't see it,
Preach. So, look, I know you got to get out of here, Bart, and I know that we've been through a lot to make this thing happen. But there's no way that we could have you on a podcast. And you alluded to it earlier, we can't let you go without two words that have become more synonymous with you than your own name, and that's can't wait. So
no doubt, man.
How spontaneous was that? Like was that some planned shit? How spontaneous was it? And did you have any idea it would become what it became?
That got me?
Yeah. Did you hear us?
Yeah. I got the question, but it's about to die. So I'll tell you what, you was talking about can't wait.
Yeah.
You talking about shit. I went full Tropic Thunder on that joint. No, hold on.
Okay.
You can hear me through the phone. You can't hear me through my...
Correct.
Yeah.
This is just one of those, like, we've been getting our ass kicked all game, but we're holding a one-point lead in the fucking finish line. We're watching the clock. We just gotta get there. We got you. Yep. This shit's gonna sound so smooth, though. It's gonna sound like, you know... It's gonna be one of my... Gotcha. Perfect, man. Just jump into it.
All right, cool. You asked me about can't wait. Like, did I plan it out? First of all, nobody planned to beat the Patriots, right? Especially in Gillette during the playoffs.
Right.
You know, but it was like one of those instant moments where it was just like, I was just, you know, because we had got our ass kicked like 3 weeks before. And what we always hated is people act like we didn't beat the Patriots in the regular season. We had beat them the first game, you know, and they beat us the second game. And it's like always about matchups and who has the best game plan. And every once in a while, Bill has wrinkles and Rex has wrinkles. And the adjuster just to the adjustment. And, you know, that's what happens when you have two great defensive minds and a great offensive mind and defensive mind on both sides. You know, it's like they're playing chess. And, you know, we had a game plan and we did something that we knew that they didn't think we were going to play. We were an aggressive man-to-man team that took advantage of that and ran a lot of pick run routes and things like that, forcing people to communicate with motion. So we decided to play zone the entire game, which is something unique that we never did. And we're able to, you know, get the upper hand, which is something rare when you think about doing that, especially in Gillette. And I was full of Tropic Thunder, man. I was just beside myself, man. I blanked out. And actually, when Sal Pal saw me, I was over there cussing out the mascot. And I was trying to whip the mascot ass. You know what I mean? Because he was over there. Like, you can't see his face, but you can know what he's thinking, you know, with his mannerisms.
Hey, somebody told him Richie Incognito was in that suit. That's what it was.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to knock that fucking chin off, looking like the Tick. You know, look like Ben Affleck, you know what I'm saying, that big-ass chin. So it was like one of those things where Sal saw me kind of going Tropic Thunder, and, you know, he did a masterful job and just kind of set me up. And where the whole can't wait came is, you know what I mean, I was kind of elaborating on kind of how I felt, getting it off my chest. And in typical Sal form, he's probably getting to wrap it up from right. ESPN. But who the hell would wrap something up when I'm spitting hot fire like that? I'm spitting that guideline shit. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like it was some boring thing. I was pretty much telling everybody, fuck the Patriots, that they defense soft and blah, 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 and all that stuff. And you won't rap me? Right. You gonna rap me in the middle of my sentence? So if somebody, if you're talking and somebody's like, all right, I gotta go. You're like, fuck you, right? So like in my head, you know what I'm saying? In my head, I'm like, what? I'm gonna like see you in Pittsburgh. When you finish talking, fuck, can't wait, motherfucker. All right, peace. Deuces, motherfucker, bye. You fucking asked to talk to me. You asked to talk to me. They tell me to wrap it up. You wrap it up, motherfucker. Then I had to listen. You know what I mean? I had to listen. All you know, like whenever you.
Hey, Bart, on that note, no, I'm kidding.
Fuck yourself. You know,
I love it.
Like, don't be rapping me because now you got to go drive the mask to your wife because you fucked up. It's like one of those things, man. Like where, like you know, when you're the underdog and people disrespecting you, saying you got no shot. You know, you listen to that shit all damn day because it's a night game. So you listen to all the pregame shows. And I remember Tom Jackson and shit. Like, man, and Tom Jackson, my guy, he wore 57. He was like a little engine that could. I'm looking at him like, man, fuck you, motherfucker. He's sitting up here talking that shit, man. Spitting. Oh yeah, no challenge. That's why I was like, man, way to have our back, Keyshawn. Fuck you, Tom, basically.
Right.
Yeah, right. All that. All that. Juice, you like the line about they couldn't stop what now? They couldn't stop a nosebleed?
Oh, man. They talk about the defense can't stop a nosebleed.
Oh, that's too good.
I was trying to be disrespectful, man, because like they talk stuff about our defense. We rank number three.
Right.
The fuck are these dudes? If I had a quarterback like Tom Brady, I'll be so deep in the record books that nobody'd be able to break that shit. The 85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens wouldn't be able to break it if I had a cut. You ain't even got to be on the damn field.
Right.
You, after the first quarter, the team is in a one sided, got to throw the ball fucking way. And y'all want to give them credit.
14-0 automatically a lot of times.
Exactly. So you looking at that. I'm working with Mark Sanchez. God bless him. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, he's trying to figure the shit out. Like, you know what you talking about? For us to be third without a premier Pro Bowl quarterback, that shit's amazing. Fuck y'all. Fuck you talking about.
Can't wait. I love it.
We can't stop nobody. The fuck y'all going to stop? If y'all don't have this quarterback, you motherfuckers would be goddamn laughingstock of the goddamn fucking NFL. Reason y'all defense so good because you motherfuckers never on the fucking field.
So it came out of the Mad Backer Detroit, fuck you, don't disrespect me. But then became this thing, right? I mean, you know, how quickly did you realize, oh, I got to ride this?
Man, I thought I was going to ride it if we would have beat, if Schottenheimer, dumbass, don't fucking run the ball on the 1 yard line with the fattest tailback in history and Sean Green, instead of trying to be cute and throw slants twice and give it to LT who couldn't jump no more. We would have been in the Super Bowl, and JT would have been able to ride off to the sunset like Shane with a title because we'd have kicked the Packers' ass. We had held the Packers to 9 points early in the season.
Wow.
Damn.
Wow. Yeah. So I guess it was
still mad, Mark.
The Packers didn't want no smoke. They knew that because we had got better offensively. We held them to 3 field goals, and one of them was because our dumbass punter thought that it was He used to do this thing. Steve Weatherford used to drop the ball on purpose so he can try and show how athletic he was. You know, everybody see how cut up he is now, stuff like that, bodybuilder, Donis. But he was a decathlete. So he thinking like, oh, he drops the ball. And he runs like 15 yards. And he gets up and he thinks he's got a first down. This motherfucker don't realize he's 10 yards short. He's just at the beginning of the fucking marker because you're a punter. You're 7 yards back. So before you get to the line of scrimmage, that's 7 yards. It was like 3rd and 15, so he ran like 12 yards and thought he had a first down, started pointing like first down, like, no, dumbass, first down this way, fucking Aaron Rodgers. And they kicked the field goal, and they got the ball on the 48-yard line.
Not that you're bothered by it. But so the anger had to subside, and now, you know, I go to your Twitter handle, it's hashtag can't wait. So, like, you know, at some point you realize there's a marketing opportunity.
Well, I mean, I think anybody like the timeout by Weber, first of all, Richard Sherman tried to swagger jack my shit. It didn't come off authentic because he did that same interview twice. He's trying to be me. It's only be one original. I said that shit with my chest. That shit, his shit was made up. My shit was from the fucking chest. You know what I'm saying? That's why people fuck with it, because they know that shit was original.
On that note, man, I know you got somewhere to be. We really appreciate you taking the time. It was I can't think of a better guy, Juice, to be the first non-Dolphin to dive into the tank. And I don't know if anybody else will ever live up to it.
I couldn't wait.
Oh, that's 10 cents. I own that shit.
Pay that man. Pay that man his money.
Juice, you my guy, man. It's all good. You can use it freely.
That was great, man. I lost my mind when I saw that live, man. I lost my mind, Bart. You have no idea, man. That dude there. You still wanted to play another 4 quarters, it seemed like.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I was just getting warmed up.
Yeah.
Great stuff, man. Well, Bart, thank you so much. We appreciate you. I hope things get cleaned up there in your home state and you can get some internet back and don't have to drive into the city to work anymore. But thank you for being a part of this.
All good, man. You get the mask to the kids. I want you to see your ass. Get your ass.
Yeah, I got
to
get rolling.
Hey, thanks for diving in, Bart.
All good, Brody.
To all the non-believers.
How did that
to all the non-believers. Especially you, Tom Jackson. Way to have our back, Keyshawn. Anybody can be beat.
So how did that just feel?
Feel great. Poetic justice.
Hey, thanks a lot.
We know,
man,
we were a much better team than we came up and represented ourselves.
Oh, thank you.
And we're pissed off. We're ready to come back and show what type of defense, what type of team this was, what kind of character we had. We take a lot of slack. People gave us no chance, like we barely made it in playoffs. We're a good football team.
It looks like this team played with anger all day. Why, Bart?
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league. All we hear is about their defense. They can't stop a nosebleed. 25th in the league, and we the one to get disrespected.
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Great, man. So good.
Oh, so good.
You're
so
now
good.
Diving into the fish tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth. OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, Dolph fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk.
Dive up in that fish tank.
Go get your aqua orange, yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rocking with OJ and Seth when we dive up in that fish tank. Fans with attitude, we
okay,
better dive
this one
up
for
in
them diehards. Celebrate big or cry hard. Leave it all on the field, we gon' try hard. Old school, a new school, mix it in. Feeling like we up close when we listening. Dolphins tales, in Miami is the deep end. We vibing with our favorite players, no secret. We get with Seth and McDuffie, bringing up stories we never heard to the public. Bet we love it, Dolphins fans never budging. We loyal to the team, whether happy or we upset. We be like, what's next? Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fins. And if you ready for that water, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fins. And if you down with Dolphins Nation, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fins. You looking at that fish tank, it's time to dive in.
Fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rockin' with OJ and Seth when you dive up in that fish tank. Dolphins with attitude, we about to dive up in that fish tank.